Joining us, as he always does, the one and only Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, before we get into the game, I just want to say again how fun it was to have you here through the weekend, the festivities that you enjoyed with the Browns backers, and then, well, going back to our remote on Friday, the Browns backers, and then and then having the co-captaincy with Webster Slaughter. That had to be great to be reunited with him.
Wow, it really was. And thanks, Vic, by the way. The Browns and you guys and we all, it was a really enjoyable weekend. To have my daughter up there with me, to have her experience it. You know, she was watching on the field yesterday for really the first time in her life to see actual regular season football. And when you're on the field and up close like that, right, and to see the speed and the violence and the contact and the collisions, it was a whole new appreciation, I think, from her for what her father used to do. Right. And then just for the weekend of Friday, we started together out at, in Strongsville.
Yeah, PNC
at
Bank.
PNC, and we had the show out there on remote. And to do that, and all the fans that came up. I mean, hey, we even had a pet Bernie Kosar pig who showed up for
that was
the
awesome.
To do that this weekend. So
Bernie the
for
pig.
That, and then over Saturday to be at the stadium. I think it was at the stadium from like 2 o'clock to 8:30, just signing autographs with fans and with the Team Bernie stuff, and then with the Browns backers, and some overlapped, and then to culminate it with the game Sunday. Yeah, I know we're feeling bad that we didn't get the W, but if we're being objective, the way we played yesterday, there was a lot of encouraging things yesterday.
Well, okay, then let's start there with what did encourage you, because I can go over the list of things that have a lot of other folks maybe discouraged or certainly not feeling great in the aftermath. What encouraged you?
Again, it's easy. Again, it's almost like what we were talking about the trying to live and think positively.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to the negative things, and they're pretty blatant what some of those were. But in terms of the positives, I mean, if you would have went if Saturday afternoon, you could have said, Michael Vick is going to get destroyed and look like a rookie. That Fort, Robinson, DeQuell Jackson, Joe Hayden could all get interceptions. T.J. Ward could have 8 tackles, a forced fumble, a sack, a couple quarterback hits. That the defensive line in the front 7 can manhandle the Philadelphia Eagles, we all would have wanted to probably lock me in a loony bin if I'd have made that type of prediction. I mean, to have seen that evolve, and again, I'm trying to be positive with it, but that is accurate. I mean, there was a whole game, and even though the last drive that took the 6 minutes, the 91 yards, God, they earned. Philadelphia earned every inch of that drive. And I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but there were some debatable calls on the fumble and things like that within that drive that just didn't go our way. So from a special teams, from a defensive perspective, that was as dominant a performance as we've seen in a long time with young guys that, you know, most people didn't know. Heck, I did the games this preseason, and those guys changed some numbers on me, and I was kind of looking at my cheat sheet to see who it was.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with you there. I think this defensive effort was amazing. Folks could point to 400-plus yards by the Eagles, but that does not tell the story of what took place between that's what took place between the 20s, what took place in the red zone, what took place in critical areas where there were turnovers and the stops that this defense made. Yeah, you can't do much better than that. And the attempt was there to carry this team on a day when the offense was struggling horribly. You just could see it building and building among the DeQuell Jacksons and the T.J. Wards and the Joe Haydens to take it on their shoulders.
Yeah, and again, if I can go out on a tangent here and give a shout-out, if the fans and people and myself don't give tribute to Dick Geron, the defensive coordinator, and how blessed and fortunate we are to have him on our side, for him to be able to once again figure out these things and give that type of performance, Maybe if I can give Mr. Haslam one bit of advice, it'd probably be to give Dick Turan a lifetime contract, because that's somebody very fortunate to have within your organization who could figure out and analyze young players and develop them and come up with a scheme. It was, for me, from the X's and O's standpoint, to watch the way he calls a game and mixes up his coverage, his fronts, his pass rush techniques, and the games that they run up front. It's just, it's a lot of fun, and it puts a huge amount of duress on the front five of an offensive line, and Philadelphia did not have an answer for what he was doing yesterday.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, we know, of course, what the real problem areas were with this team. I mean, the offense in general, but in particular, Brandon Whedon looking every bit the rookie quarterback and clearly playing the worst football that he's demonstrated, I think, since he set foot on a practice field in the offseason. I saw nothing like this coming around the bend. And, you know, you talk about what sort of predictions one would make before the game, where people at least would have thought you were wondered a question. Those who saw Brandon on a day-to-day basis, as I did and as you mostly did through this, again, through this summer, I just that blew me away. I didn't think the kid was going to struggle, or you know, the older rookie was going to struggle as much as he did.
Well, again, I spoke with Brandon a little bit about it, and I like his, you know, owning up and manning up to the issue. I had a fly this morning to South Florida, and I'll be going to the funeral tomorrow up in Baltimore. They're saying the same thing about Tannehill today here in South Florida with his interceptions. Andrew Luck threw three interceptions yesterday. Russell Wilson couldn't figure it out in Seattle himself. And then the guy I love, Robert Griffin, he had a fantastic day yesterday. About 20% of the rookie quarterbacks were successful. 80% had issues yesterday. That would tend to probably be in line with NFL statistics. It's the one game. It's the first game for a rookie quarterback, and again, those are things that how you handle adversity, how you handle yourself, how you believe in yourself, it's imperative to moving forward.
Okay, let's drill into that a little bit, because that's the part that we need your quarterbacking expertise on. What you saw of him yesterday that we're on, and this wasn't every bit of it on him as bad as he played. There were others. Receivers didn't provide the best help in the world. There was no running game to speak of at all. So a lot of those things contributed. But of the technical, mechanical, physical things that you saw Whedon do, the misfires that you saw on multiple occasions, Bernie, where does the correction start? How do you go about it to get it as right as it can be before the Cincinnati game next week?
Well, again, not wanting to be a quarterback apologist and not trying to be his marketing agent, but we use the phrase a lot, where quarterbacks were victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. He certainly didn't get, and I'm not trying to cast blame on other people, but he did not get any help from lots of other people himself. A lot of drops again, the interception inside the red zone were dropped and knocked up in the air with Little. I thought Trent Richardson played a phenomenal game and only averaged 2 yards a carry. There were no holes there. He was left out on an island. Protection at times was not there. So there's plenty of blame, I think, to go around. And the improvement needs to come from everybody. And it's what's beautiful about the NFL and football. You really need everybody doing just their job on a play to make it successful.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Bernie, as we talk about the rest of the offense, you touched upon the receivers, just a familiar problem of struggling to catch the football. And you know, as I want to believe that that's been addressed with the infusion of some new talent, seeing what a Josh Gordon was able to do quite a bit again in practice, Travis Benjamin, but none of that showed up. And we saw the familiar issues with Greg Little struggling. And in general, especially the young receivers, and Pat Shurmur talked about this, bump and run coverage, you know, struggling really to get into their routes, all of those things. Where is the hope in all that? Where does that get
back? That's the thing. It's the NFL. You're going to get bump and run coverage. You're going to get press coverage. I used to actually talking to myself about this as to how it's a sign of – I used to look at it as a sign of disrespect that they think a quarterback and receiver and a little defensive back could get up in his face and then completely negate the passing game. It has to almost be a personal challenge to beat that within a quarterback and a receiver to take advantage of that and to look forward to that and to wish for that. And yesterday, Philadelphia, who has excellent cornerbacks, they were able to shut things down. You know, Josh Cribbs, you know, has that nice little push-off move that he subtly is able to get away with, you know, and kind of create that separation from the defensive back when the ball's about to get there. Learning how to create a little separation, how to get distance away from the defensive back, it's imperative. But being that most of the receivers are so young, it takes a little bit of time. And it's funny kind of being with Webster over the weekend. He had some of the best moves ever against bump coverage, press coverage.
Right.
But it took them a little bit of time to get it. So there's no question the Browns, Coach Shurmur, the receivers, they're working on how to actually create that separation. But you must create that separation against press coverage to get those completions.
Bernie, a lot of questions came up, and Pat Shurmur heard this during his news conference about the two-point conversion, whether or not he should have gone for it after DeQuell Jackson's touchdown, which was right at the start of the fourth quarter. Your thought on that and, if, you know, the strategy of not going for it, it didn't bother me just because of the time left, and I've always thought of two-point conversions as being something you do as late as you possibly can. Where do you come down on that?
Well, look, I like the two-point play, okay? I tend to be aggressive in wanting to use it. But with 14 and a half minutes to go, to go up six, or to go up seven, statistics say that you complete execute and convert the two-point play 45% of the time. So most of the time, you do not get it. So let's say we would have went for it, okay? And we make it, obviously, you're up seven. But percentages say you don't get it. And we were struggling offensively. So to add that pressure when we weren't beating the press coverage, our percentages were actually probably lower. So if people remember, Philadelphia missed a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
What if they make that field goal and they kick another one and we lose 16-15 if we win for 2 points? I mean, it's easy today to say, oh, we should have went for two.
Right.
But with 14 and a half minutes to go, it crossed my mind and I quickly said, ran through some of them scenarios, and there's actually no way I would have went for two, because once you start going for two and you get kind of behind the eight ball, and most of the time you do not make it, it's a tough one to do.
Bernie, great stuff as always, and we will catch up with you again, of course. And thanks again, my brother.
Sounds good, man.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.